Patient Safety Board's Mark Rosinger says it's too early to say.
I can't even begin to start telling you the working theories of what the causes are. We won't know that until we begin to do the analysis.
All 40 people on the plane were killed in the crash, along with one person on the ground. Well, they were planning another flyover today over the skies of New York until the Federal Aviation Administration vetoed the idea. This time it was a Navy unit that wanted to fly its planes low over the Hudson River. If all goes well, the space shuttle Atlantis will arrive at the Hubble Space Telescope Wednesday afternoon. They'll spend 5 days making repairs and upgrading equipment. NASA calls it a relatively dangerous mission because of all the space debris that's in the Hubble's orbit. The most trusted name in news. This is CNN Radio.
Trust. It's something you earn through hard work and respect. Midas wants to earn your trust. It begins with an oil change. Right now, Midas will give you a second oil change for free. Come see us. Buy an oil change, get a second oil change free. Midas, we're on this road together.
Purchase one at regular price, get a free voucher for equal or lesser value. Most vehicles, limited time offer at participating Midas.
It's the medicine your mom gave you as a kid. The medicine you trusted when you were pregnant. And for many, it's what you rely on to ease arthritis pain. Tylenol has been trusted for over 50 years. And while store brands make pills that look just like Tylenol, it's important to know they're not made by Tylenol. The only way to get the brand you've trusted your whole life, the brand doctors recommend most, is to buy the brand doctors recommend most. Feel better. Tylenol. Use only as directed.
We continue sunny and hot right on throughout the first part of the week after a warm weekend. Could be down to the upper 90s by Wednesday after about 101 the first part of the week. But then if you're looking toward the end of the week and the weekend, another big heat up back to near 105. Jim Howell, KFNX News Talk Radio, 1100.
Currently in downtown Phoenix, it's 97 degrees.
Free energy now.
Imagine a world in which each home has its own power generator that obtains its energy in such a way that no fuel has to be added. Imagine every vehicle being able to run without ever stopping for fuel. Imagine each appliance having its own power source that never has to be recharged. That is the world of the future. Join with us now as we track our progress towards such a world.
Welcome to the show. I'm your host, Sterling Allen. You can join us online at freeenergynow.net, where you can find a list of past guests, download those interviews, see who's scheduled for upcoming shows, and if you're listening live, you can see the call-in numbers. We're joined this evening, May 11, 2009, by Stanton Friedman, one of the most well-known names in ufology. Our topic tonight is breakthrough clean energy technologies, black ops suppression, and the extraterrestrial presence. We'll be asking him such questions as, what kind of technologies might the black ops be sitting on? What role do the ETs have in conveying advanced technologies to humans? When might we see an end to the suppression? What can enlightened, connected citizens do to help bring about the release of these technologies for the benefit of mankind? Stanton Friedman is a nuclear physicist lecturer receiving his bachelor's and master's degree of science and in physics from the University of Chicago in 1955 and 56. He was employed for 14 years as a nuclear physicist by such companies as GE, GM, Westinghouse, and McDonnell Douglas, working in such highly advanced, classified, and eventually canceled programs as nuclear aircraft, fission and fusion rockets, and various compact nuclear power plants for space and terrestrial applications. He became interested in UFOs in 1958 and since 1967 has lectured about them at more than 600 colleges and 100 professional groups in 50 U.S. states, 9 Canadian provinces, and 16 other countries in addition to various nuclear consulting efforts. He has published more than 90 UFO papers and has appeared on hundreds of radio and TV programs, including Larry King Live in 2007 and twice in 2008, and many documentaries. He is the original civilian investigator of the Roswell incident and co-authored Crash at Corona, the definitive study of the Roswell incident, among other books. He has provided written testimony to congressional hearings, appeared twice at the UN, and been pioneered in many aspects of ufology. He has spoken at more MUFON symposia than anyone else. Stanton Friedman is a dual citizen of the U.S. and Canada and resides in New Brunswick, Canada, where it is presently 1 a.m. Dr. Friedman, welcome to the show.
Mister, please, no free degrees. I can't complain about those piled higher and deeper guys if I were one, you know.
All right. Well, we really appreciate you coming on the show tonight.
My pleasure.
You know, I was comfortable kind of getting you in the last minute, so to speak, on this show. You can talk probably off the cuff about a whole myriad of topics, and the one tonight is one you're very familiar with, namely the whole black ops suppression of advanced technologies, and in particular, breakthrough clean energy technologies. That may be a bit of a stretch for what you're used to talking about.
Yes.
But, it's good to give you a little exercise once in a while.
Well, yeah, it doesn't hurt. You get old, you need some mental grinding around, put the gears into use. I have very straightforward opinions about flying saucers and the cosmic Watergate, as I call it. No question after 51 years of study and investigation that some, underlined 37 times, some UFOs are alien spacecraft, and that we're dealing with a cosmic Watergate, meaning some few people within major governments have known since at least July 1947, when a couple of saucers were recovered in the Southwest, including Roswell, that indeed some UFOs are alien spacecraft. Now, I'm careful in what I say, because people often ask the wrong question. What are UFOs, or are UFOs alien spacecraft? The question is, are any UFOs alien spacecraft, not are all UFOs? There's a big difference. Are any isotopes fissionable? Yes. Are all isotopes fissionable? Of course not. So it's the ones that are that matter, and it's the same with the flying saucers. Now, I have no doubt that we have recovered wreckage of at least two flying saucers, probably more. And I say we, meaning we Earthlings. This is a worldwide problem. It's not an American problem. And I'm sure that secrets can be kept. In my book, Flying Saucers and Science, I talk about several large-scale programs that were kept classified for decades. I don't mean weeks, months, years. Decades. And very large programs. For example, the Corona spy satellite. There were 12 failures, all in secret. The 13th one in 1960, mind you, got more information about Soviet military installations than all the U-2 flights which had preceded it. Was that announced publicly? Of course not. First mention publicly was in 1995, mind you, 35 years later, by which time the techniques had obviously grown considerably, improved, etc. There are many other programs, but One of my favorites was the NRO, National Reconnaissance Office, which is known for producing satellites that might cost as much as $500 million each. That's not three workers in a basement producing a nice piece of hardware. They announced a couple years back that they were canceling a program with Boeing to develop a new satellite architecture arrangement of components, etc. They had only spent $14 billion in secret. So I mention this because every once in a while I get somebody who says, the government can't keep secrets. If Nixon couldn't keep Watergate secret, then they certainly couldn't keep the recovery of a crash flying saucer secret. Right? Wrong. Totally wrong. National security triumphs an awful lot of other things. So the question isn't, can the government keep secrets? Of course it can. You don't keep secrets by telling lots of people. You tell as few as possible. That's a very different question, can secrets be kept, with whether we have learned to produce much of anything in the way of technology from flying saucers. I'm sure we've learned something from the wreckage at Roswell and other wreckage, Aztec, New Mexico, for example, in 1948, March. But that's different from saying we've learned how to produce, I'll call it, free energy. And that term gets kicked around a lot. But, you know, the sun is free. That, and so's the wind. But that doesn't mean the converters are. And right now, as most people know, both sun and wind energy cost more than standard means of producing, say, electricity.
Mm-hmm.
The fact that we have recovered crash flying saucers, we've made observations for years of their flying capability. You know, how does the color change when a right angle turn is made, that sort of thing, doesn't mean that we have developed free energy. It means that we are, not surprisingly, ignorant about advanced technology. And part of the problem here is people don't want to admit that, you know what, we could be a billion years behind these guys. My favorite pair of sun-like stars, Zeta 1 and Zeta 2 Reticuli, the constellation Reticulum, you can't see them from here, you got to go below the equator. These are the two stars that turn up after the star map work that went with the Betty and Barney Hill abduction case. That's described in detail in Captured, the Betty and Barney Hill UFO experience by myself and Kathleen Marden, Betty's niece. Just came out in 2007. And those two stars are only 39 light years away, 39.3 if you want to get finicky. But and they're only an eighth of a light year apart from each other. They're both sun-like stars, which is only true of about 5% of the stars in the neighborhood. It might be expected to have planets and life. We know there are plenty of planets out there. Those two stars are a cool billion years older than the sun. And a billion years is nothing to sneeze at. I mean, look back 100 years. Look back 110. Our first flight was in 1903. And look at all we've learned since then about the atom, about the nucleus, about DNA, about electromagnetic waves, and just an enormous amount of technology. Less than 100 years old, most of it. And so you might expect that somebody that got started just a little bit before we did knows some things we don't know, because Friedman's rule, I make them up as I go along, is that technological progress comes from doing things differently in an unpredictable way. A laser isn't just a better light bulb, in other words. Entirely new physics, an atomic bomb. Well, you can see our evolution, and it tells you a great deal about man. We figured out how the sun works and all the other stars. The process that goes on is not burning gas, which we thought it was it. But in 1938, a great physicist figured out that the sun works by nuclear fusion. Now, being earthlings as we are, we put it to use. And 14 years later, 1952, we exploded our first H-bomb. It produced as much energy as 10 million tons of TNT exploding. 10 million tons. And for those of you old like me, you can remember World War II. A big bomb was a 10-ton blockbuster. We're talking 10 million tons. That was in 1952 down in the Pacific. It was so big, the fireball it produced was 3 miles in diameter. Now, the Russians, within not too many years, exploded one that was the equivalent, produced as much energy as exploding 57 million tons of TNT. One device. And that's where we are, less than 100 years after we started to find out a little bit about the atom and things like that. The neutron wasn't even discovered until the early 30s. So my point is that it doesn't take very long to make huge strides. In our case, we earthlings seem to like war. We're a primitive society. Our major activity is tribal warfare. we develop new technology we're going to use it to kill people with.
Yeah. But we've got a break here. When we come back from break, I want to ask the question, how much of what we see flying around in the skies today is of human origin, and how much is from extraterrestrial presence?
Okay.
I know what you're going through.
I've been there.
Nobody else I know has been there.
It's not easy being a veteran.
Coming back from Iraq or Afghanistan, I had been so excited to come home.
But it's harder than I thought.
Not everyone understands that.
Things at home may be as you left them.
But you don't feel the same.
Join us at communityofveterans.org.
And connect to others who are going through the same thing.
Because no one knows what it's like to come back unless they were there.
Brought to you by Iraq and Afghanistan Veterans of America and the Ad Council.
Check it out, it's the Terminator. Hey, when'd you get back, huh?
Did you have to shoot anyone?
Why are you so distant? Are you not happy to see me?
So what's the deal? You gonna get a job now or what?
Why are you being so jumpy? Put all that stuff behind you, okay?
No one knows what it's like to come back from Iraq or Afghanistan unless they were there. Join other veterans at communityofveterans.org because we know where you're coming from. Brought to you by Iraq and Afghanistan Veterans of America and the Ad Council.
If credit card debt is making your life miserable and you're tired of living from paycheck to paycheck, then get ready for a toll-free number that will end your credit nightmare and preserve your self-respect. Trinity Debt Management will save you thousands by cutting your interest as much as 60% and increasing your credit score up to 200 points. If you're ready for one low monthly payment that pays off your debt, call Trinity at 1-800-758-5360. Trinity's certified counselors will explain their proven program to you with no pressure, just practical solutions and hope for tomorrow. If your debt has you down, we should talk.
Trinity.
Call for free information now at 1-800-758-5360. 1-800-758-5360. 1-800-758-5360. Not available in all states.
Free energy now!
Sterling Allen coming back at you from Eagle Mountain. We are talking tonight with Stanton Friedman, the go-to guy on ufology. We've been talking about black ops suppression, extraterrestrial presence, but he's actually been making a case for the fact that there are other civilizations in the universe, nearby actually, that had a big leap in terms of the amount of time they've had to develop, and looking at how much we can develop in just 100 years, and these guys may be billions of years ahead of us, what would they have up their sleeve in terms of technology and whatnot? Certainly raises an interesting question. The question I asked just before we went to break was, how much of the craft that we see flying around that we call UFOs, the unidentified flying objects that are not acknowledged to be of human origin officially, how much of those are actually of human origin, and how much of that is actually from an extraterrestrial presence?
Well, we don't have a lot of good data that's out in the open anyway. The biggest study ever done for the United States Air Force was Project Blue Book Special Report 14. This was completed way back in 1955. The work was done by professional engineers and scientists at Battelle Memorial Institute in Columbus, Ohio. They do contract research for all kinds of people. They might even be working for General Electric and Westinghouse at the same time because they're known to keep their mouths closed. Anyway, in this largest study ever done, it was found that 21.5% of the 3,201 sightings which they investigated could not be explained completely separate from the 9.3% which were listed as insufficient information. all kinds of other things were found, you know, astronomical objects, et cetera, et cetera. But 21.5%. What is interesting is that the better the quality of the sighting, because of the background of the observer, the circumstances, the duration of observation, et cetera, the more likely to be unexplainable. What is equally interesting is that the Secretary of the Air Force, Donald Quarles, in a very widely distributed press release, they didn't distribute the report, they didn't even give its title, believe it or not, he said, on the basis of this report, we believe that no objects such as those properly described as flying saucers have overflown the Earth. Even the unknown 3% could have been identified as conventional phenomena or illusions if more complete observational data had been available. That sounds pretty straightforward. There really aren't any cases that we couldn't explain, and those few that there were, we just didn't have enough data. The fact of the matter is that that was a total and complete lie. L-I-E, you know, not telling the truth. The unknowns were not 3%, they were 21.5%. That's not just a round-off error, in other words. And furthermore, they were by definition not those reports for which there was insufficient information. They went farther than that. They did a cross comparison between the unknowns, the only ones we're interested in really, and the knowns, everything else. And they found that the probability that the unknowns were just misknowns was less than 1%. So the facts are one thing. The statement by the government is quite something else, a flat-out, unequivocal lie. And they've been, there's a piece on my website, www.stantonfriedman.com, about government UFO lies. That doesn't cover all the lies. It would have to be much longer than it is. But all the agencies, the FBI, the CIA, the DIA, the OSI, Air Force Office of Special Investigations, etc., have lied. Now, I say that seriously. I mean, I don't much approve of lying, but it's particularly bad when you there's such a difference between what you're saying and what the facts show. Mm-hmm. So, you know, let's be generous. Let's say only 10% of the cases that are seriously investigated turn out to be alien spacecraft. Certainly some of them are secret government projects, the U-2, the SR-71, probably the Aurora, which the government still hasn't said exists yet. So we're not talking about, the question again isn't what are all UFOs alien spacecraft. The question is, are any? And, you know, we're accustomed to reasoning this way. As I said, isotopes that are fissionable, well, certainly most of them aren't. Metals with very high melting points, very few. If you're in medical research, the question is, do all drugs cure a disease? The question is, do any? And if you said, gee, I guess there's no cure for cancer because only 21.5% of the drugs, the chemicals we looked at worked, you'd say, hey, you're crazy, man. All I need is one. You know, I don't need 20% of a few thousand. So in every other field, we have the good sense to focus on what's relevant. When it comes to flying saucers, the official attitude, no, 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 you don't want to do that. So, okay, we got a sizable chunk in every large-scale scientific study. I have a whole chapter on the data in flying saucers in science. It's published last year. It's in its fourth printing already. That's a lot of cases, and this is a worldwide problem. Now, the hard part. Okay, suppose you've got a crash saucer, say from Roswell, as described in Crash at Corona, one of my books. Corona is actually the town closest to where the crash happened, not Roswell, but Corona was rather a tiny town. Roswell was huge at that time. It had 25,000 people. Corona had less than 1,000. And so, okay, you've got a crash saucer. Does that mean that you can immediately duplicate it? Of course it doesn't. There may be all kinds of aspects of it that you have no idea what you're dealing with. And a silly example that I use, but it illustrates the point. If you had given Christopher Columbus as a prize for discovering a new world a nuclear submarine and say, hey, great job, Chris. I got this nuclear submarine here, and I need two more, and I'll give you an unlimited budget. Could he have built one? Of course he couldn't. He didn't know enough. He didn't know about the nucleus. He didn't know how to measure all kinds of things. On a more modern level, suppose you gave the smartest people in the world, 75 years ago, let's say, a cheap digital wristwatch. Digital. Now, could they have built another one? No. Oh, they know it's a watch, and they know there's a battery in there, there's electricity. But what would they do about the chip that's in there? They couldn't analyze it, and even if they could analyze it, they couldn't duplicate it. Intel spends, what, $1 billion on a chip facility. Who's going to spend $1 billion when you don't know what it is you're going to try to make? So it isn't as simple as saying, well, I've got one, pretty soon I'll make one. That's not true at all. And the kind of problems you run into are, you know, what are the materials? Well, okay, we see most of the elements in the universe all over the place, but knowing that some of this is, let's say, rhenium. Now, most people have never heard of rhenium. It's a very dense material, twice as dense as lead. It's got a very high melting point. It's got some very special properties in the air at 4,000 degrees and a few other little things.
Right. I'm sorry to interrupt you here, but I want to get to the conclusion of this question because we're near the bottom of the hour, and ask one more as we approach the bottom of the hour. But so of the craft that's flying around overhead right now, you make a strong case for how hard it is to reverse engineer. In your best estimation, from your information sources that you've gathered over the years, how much of what's up there is of human origin and how much of it is extraterrestrial?
Well, I think maybe a few percent extraterrestrial. Have we been trying to back engineer? Of course we have. We'd be stupid not to. Have we been successful at back engineering? I'm not satisfied that I think we've learned stuff. That's different from saying we've learned how to duplicate the propulsion system or the energy production part of the system, and that we've done that well enough so that we could, if we chose, provide, quote, free, unquote, energy for everybody on the planet. That I would doubt very much. What if it takes 2 pounds of unobtainium per craft, and we don't know how to make unobtainium? It's like nuclear weapons. Knowing how they work is very different from producing the plutonium, for example, that would make some of them work. That's a major enterprise.
Okay, so when we come back from the bottom of the hour, we'll talk more about what technologies might be suppressed and withheld from the public knowledge.
CNN Headline News, The Osgood Files, Market Watch. Information you can use. Weekdays on KFNX.
CNN Radio, I'm Greg Black. Pentagon officials say an American soldier undergoing treatment at a counseling clinic near Baghdad has shot and killed five of his fellow patients. Iraq War veteran Paul Rykoff complains there aren't enough doctors there.
We've got a critical shortage of mental health care workers, just not enough psychologists, psychiatrists in theater and when they come home. So these things pile up, and you've got over 600,000 folks who've been to theater more than once.
They need some new leadership. That's the Pentagon explanation for a decision to fire the top U.S. commander in Afghanistan. National Transportation Safety Board tomorrow begins 3 days of hearings into that fatal commuter plane crash near Buffalo. One factor they'll look at is whether or not the plane's pilot had enough training to handle the emergency that brought the plane down. Federal investigators are accusing a postal worker in Michigan of stealing stamps, $20,000 worth of stamps. They say he was selling them on eBay at a discount. He claimed he needed the money to help pay his mortgage. This is CNN Radio.
We continue sunny and hot right on throughout the first part of the week after a warm weekend. Could be down to the upper 90s by Wednesday after about 101 the first part of the week. But then if you're looking toward the end of the week and the weekend, another big heat up back to near 105. Jim Howell, KFNX News Talk Radio, 1100.
Currently in downtown Phoenix, it's 93 degrees.
Hi, everyone. This is a Word from His Word ministry. We invite you to join Pastor Robbie Gallaty right here on KFNX 1100 at 12 p.m. every Thursday. Pastor Robbie exposes God's Word in a way that everyone will get a word from His Word.
Do you have any idea how much money you're burning on interest every month? Our national average is 42%. You work hard for your money. Why are you giving it to the bank? It's because you have no idea you're burning so much on interest. Here, I'll prove it to you. Gather all your monthly statements. Your mortgage, automobiles, credit cards, personal loans, anything that you're making monthly payments on. Now add up all the monthly interest you're paying. Compared to income, that's a lot of money you're burning. The Real Talk Network is providing free workshops across the country where we are teaching people advanced income management strategies to wipe out debt. We teach strategies that banks and credit card companies don't want you to know. Register now for our free workshop. For a limited time, we're giving away free financial software just for attending. Call 877-572-1405, 877-572-1405, or visit our website, www.gortn.com. That's www.gortn.com. RTN.com, 877-572-1405.
Don't miss Imus in the Morning, Arizona's news talk leader. Imus in the Morning. Only on KFNX News Talk Radio 1100.
Free energy now.
We really want to change the world today.
Eagle Mountain, Utah.
We'll always take donations there for sure. Or some hard work volunteering. Give a little and you'll get back more. You know the future's looking brighter. We just want to help the world today.
Free energy now.
We really want to change the world today. We just want to help the world.
866-536-1100.
That's the toll-free call-in number if you're listening live. 866-536-1100. We're talking tonight to Stanton Friedman, the go-to guy on ufology. Tonight we're talking about Black Ops suppression of advanced technologies and the extraterrestrial presence as it relates to breakthrough clean energy technologies. We've been talking about the amount of craft that is floating around in the skies that might be of human origin and how far advanced from humans some of these extraterrestrials might be. The question I'd like to bring up now is, there are a lot of technologies that, let's call them the black ops, have. These are off-budget, black-budget projects, not necessarily the U.S., but kind of an international group have access to, are using. Some of those are manifest in the form of craft that look like UFOs because it's not something that is talked about in the news. We don't know where they come from, so we assume they're UFOs. Some of them can be in the form of energy technologies. Let's talk about that aspect. Let's get away from the extraterrestrial question for a second and just talk about black ops on this planet and what they have and what they're keeping from us.
Well, there's no question that there are a number of programs being conducted. I mentioned a couple, the Corona spy satellite kept secret for 35 years, and there were several of them launched. The satellite architecture stuff from the NRO, they admitted they had spent $14 billion without any success in getting what they wanted. I can give you an example from my own history. It wasn't a black project, but I was working on nuclear airplanes for General Electric in 1958, And that year, we spent $100 million. That was a lot of money in 1958. We employed 3,500 people. 1,100 of them were engineers and scientists. And most people have never heard of the program. I mean, General Electric Aircraft Nuclear Propulsion Department was on the gate of the facility just outside Cincinnati. But we're not talking, in other words, six professors and 30 grad students. We're talking about a massive effort, and that certainly wasn't the largest. We spent about $50 million 10 years later when I was working on nuclear rocket engines. We tested those successfully on the ground. So there are plenty of programs around which involve lots of people on far-out technology and about which we don't put a lot of data out in the open. Have we succeeded in duplicating the flying capability or the energy production capability? At some point along the way, you need some energy. If you're going to fly fast, move straight up, let's say, make right angle turns at high speeds, etc., you're producing energy. And I mean, a jet engine produces a lot of energy too, surprisingly a lot of energy. Now, does that mean we have figured out the secret, let's say, of anti-gravity? Now, to be simple-minded, you could say a rocket is an anti-gravity device. You go up, gravity pulls you down, obviously it's an anti-gravity system. But that's not what people mean when they say anti-gravity. They somehow nullify the effect of the Earth's gravity, and the Earth pulls pretty hard when you got a lot of Earth on an object. I am convinced that we have tried to do that. And some of these large triangle objects may indeed be ours, but based on alien technology, if you will. But I have still seen no evidence, despite all kinds of people saying that we've figured out free energy. I mean, that sounds good. And I know that there are people out there who sell you stock in a company that's going to make a free energy device. I'd say don't spend your money until you see it work. And there have been people collecting stories about free energy for many, many years. There was an astronaut who went around the world and took pictures of people who were claiming that they would be able to produce free energy. Somehow he never showed any devices that were doing that. Something for nothing, in other words. So I still think that we're in the wait and see, and let's keep trying, because if we keep trying, we'll eventually succeed. That's the motto of any project. But I'm not convinced that we've done that yet. And I'm not saying we can prove that we haven't. That's a different matter. But I think it would be, how shall I put this, exceedingly unusual that we not only figured out how a craft worked, where you're trying to move something around at high speed, and preferably silently. I mean, one of the major characteristics of flying saucers is the silent engine, if you will, whatever is producing the thrust, whatever you want to call it, that is silent. And anybody who's stood near a jet engine knows that it sure as heck isn't silent. And one of the systems I like, for example, is magneto-aerodynamics. We actually built, 40 years ago, a little more than that, nuclear is the wrong word in this case, but an electromagnetic submarine. If you have electric and magnetic fields at right angles to each other, and you have an electrically conducting fluid, seawater does very nicely, you can create force by pushing against the seawater. By one of Newton's laws, the seawater pushes back, and off you go sailing silently through the water. Now, if we replace seawater with ionized air, which becomes an electrically conducting fluid, and everybody, believe it or not, has seen this. When you see a meteor come in, you see a glow. It's not the object itself so much as the air around it becomes ionized. You have electrons separated from their atoms. So it's an electrically conducting fluid, and it turns out it can control all the important aspects of high-speed flight. You can control lift, drag, heating, sonic boom production, radar profile. All of these relate to the object and the ionized air around it. And if anybody thinks we haven't been working on that stuff, they're wrong. Way back in 1970, I had a literature search done of the technical report literature using the keyword magneto-aerodynamics. I got 900 references. 90% of them were classified. Nose cones coming into the atmosphere, you know, with a little H-bomb inside kind of thing. They ionize the air. So there is an entirely different approach, in other words, to flight. That doesn't involve a jet engine. It doesn't involve a propeller. It involves interacting with the surroundings. You know, automobiles do that, the where the rubber hits the road kind of thing. There's an interaction. Better be good if you want to brake, incidentally. And so we may be looking at success in something like magneto-aerodynamics, but is it producing free energy? Well, not really. You've got a propulsion system. You can move something from place to place, but is that a device you could set up in your backyard and, you know, get off the grid on? That's quite a different story. And
I was talking to a couple of scientists today who say that they've got that kind of technology, but go ahead.
No, it's just that what I'm saying is here's an example of a technology that would be very different, that might be derived from our observation of flying saucers, so-called, that involves not free energy, but you have to have a device to produce the electricity, to produce the electric and magnetic fields, and maybe that's useful. Maybe somehow you could gear that down to, you know, provide power instead of the grid. But I see a lot of talk and not much action. And there's another problem here. People have these little tiny devices. Scaling up is not easy because things don't vary the same way with size. The surface goes as the area. The weight goes as the volume. It goes up much more quickly, unfortunately. So I'm leaving room here, but I have still seen no evidence that, you know, there's a department of free energy production somewhere that if we could only get away from the secrecy, would change everything in the world. I haven't seen any evidence, and I'd be love to hear somebody who has, that we have managed to do that. A lot of talk, not much action. I know people want me to say, oh, sure, we figured out how they work and we can solve all the world's energy problems. That neglects, of course, the question is how much energy does it take to produce this stuff? The superconducting magnets, for example, are magnificent. No resistance to the flow of an electrical current.
When we come back from this next break, I'd like to get into the question of maybe the muscle or the bully factor of these men in black operations, the black op budgets, where you have these inventor technologies that are sequestered, withheld from the people, and used by the black ops for their own nefarious purposes. How much of that goes on, and how much of that could be ascribed to the technology, including energy technologies that they have themselves, but are not allowing to come forth to the people in at large.
Okay.
Credit card debt. It causes stress in your life, arguments with your loved ones, and collection agents to call you nonstop. If you feel like you're drowning in credit card debt with no way out, listen closely. No matter how high your credit card debt is, at Jordan McKenna, we are not here to judge you. We are here to help you. Together, we can reduce what you owe and stop those harassing collection calls. We'll even design an affordable monthly payment plan. You could save thousands of dollars off your high-interest credit card debt. If you have over $5,000 in credit card debt, you could automatically qualify. Call Jordan McKenna now for a free no-obligation consultation. Find out how to reduce what you owe, stop the never-ending collection calls, and get out from under the mountain of credit card debt. For your free no-obligation consultation, call now 800-308-9952. That's 800-308-9952. Don't miss out. Call 800-308-9952.
This is Dan Tullis, and I just called
Joel Clark,
one of Select Quote Insurance Services Term Life Agents.
Hi, Mr. Tullis.
Joel, how does Select Quote save you money on term life insurance?
Well, buying term life insurance is about choosing the right company. Let's say you take antidepressants or you smoke. All insurance companies are going to price that differently. Now, we'll impartially shop all the companies we represent to find you the best price.
Can you give me an example?
Sure. I just got a 40-year-old man on blood pressure medication, a $500,000 policy with a highly rated insurance company. His price, $20 a month.
Thanks, Joel. See how affordable term life insurance can be for you.
Call 1-800-649-8779. That's 1-800-649-8779.
Or go to selectquote.com. SelectQuote. We shop. You save.
Get full details on the example policy at selectquote.com/commercials. Your price could vary depending on your health, issuing company, and other factors. Not available in all states.
Free energy. Now!
Sterling Allen coming back at you from Eagle Mountain, Utah. We're talking tonight to Stanton Friedman. He's up in New Brunswick, Canada. He's joining us tonight to talk about the UFO presence and black ops suppression and clean energy technology. There are two main questions I wanted to get to in this last segment before we let you go, if possible.
Okay.
The one would be the bully factor that we just talked about before we went to break. The other would be how much of this we know that the extraterrestrial presence exists, and surely they have means of communicating with humans. How much transmission of technology takes place from them to us, number one, to lay citizens, number two, to maybe a subversive element or black op element, or three, to the citizens and then absconded by the black ops who get wind of it and go and play bully and take it away from the playground and use it for themselves. So that, I know a lot to cover, but let's go for it.
Well, okay. I think we need to understand here. Suppose you're a black op guy and you figured out you have recovered a wreckage of a crash saucer. You couple that with measurements made of its flight characteristics, from which you infer certain notions about how it might work. You're not going to make any money from that unless you build some of these things and sell them to somebody. In other words, developing the technology on a practical basis, so that if you wanted 100 of them, you could build them, let's say, what good does it do you if there's nobody to buy it? So I don't see where the money comes from. Normally, the reason for suppressing... One is power, being able to beat your neighbor over the head to keep him from doing what you don't want him to do, and the other is profit. And so I can't find any profit if you figured out the technology, and either you have to spend an awful lot of money to build the facility, to build the stuff that produces the energy, but if you do that, you got to sell it somewhere. Somebody's got to buy it.
But by staying in power, these guys have trillions of dollars at their disposal because they can do these black ops.
Where are they getting the trillions of dollars from if they're not building a product which is being sold?
From black op, black budget things that are, you know, the trillions of dollars that disappear from the budget to the federal government, for example. And also, let's not just talk about the getting of this technology from downcraft. Let's talk about the really bright scientists from around the world who come up with great technologies, get a knock on the door from some MIB element, and they get threatened, don't do such and such with this, and the technology goes to the black ops, not to the public.
But if the technology goes to the black ops, I'm not saying there aren't guys like that around, I'm sure there are, but where do you go from that? What's the next step? In other words, you build something which you sell quietly to somebody? You know, where's the beef, as somebody said once a long time ago, about hamburgers? Now we're talking about energy production technology.
But wouldn't it be the beef here in this case is this is the means by which they stay in power, by which they use the machinations and the machinery of modern civilization, the oil and the other revenue centers, to keep their machinery running.
So you mean they put this stuff off in a corner and don't use it and don't let anybody
else
use it?
No, they use it for themselves to
run
their operations.
They're producing oil-driven devices then, in other words, which they sell, and that are not being replaced because, you know, you've got the technology and nobody else does. Again, I don't see what difference does it make. If we didn't have that technology, they'd still be making their money from the oil or gas or, you know, the standard conventional stuff. So, you know, it's like, where do you go from there? Where's the profit?
Well, one of the reasons
from having control of a certain area of technology. Okay.
But if they give this technology to the people, they lose that control because now the people have the ability to not be dependent on them. Now they lose the means by which they control and put a leash on the people.
Well, I don't see where that leash comes from. If the person doesn't know that there is such technology, you're not controlling him. He doesn't know that there's anything to be controlled.
In other words, the weak part of the story is
where, okay, you've got these bad guys, and I certainly would not say that there aren't bad guys out there, power-driven, wealth-driven, whatever. But the money, again, and the power has to come from something. In other words, is it devices that are distributed all over the planet surreptitiously? Don't see how. And where are the people going to get the money to buy this stuff? Is it going to be cheap to build? I don't think so. Even a chip is pretty expensive until you've built your billion-dollar facility. So there's a big gap here between somebody sitting down and say, you know, I'll bet I know how these things work. And I'll bet I can build something that will produce energy, which I can sell the object or I can sell the energy. We do both in our society today. You know, you produce the engines, but you also produce the gas to run the engines, gasoline. Where does this happen in this system that's been envisioned here? Acknowledging that there are bad guys, acknowledging that there are secret projects, but where's the output? You can see it in the drug industry. People grow poppies, they produce heroin. You've moved the heroin around because of the laws. We've made it worth an enormous amount per pound, you know, and it's distributed all over the world. And there's a lot of money coming into the guys who run that. I can see that, and it happens, unfortunately, quite a lot. But where is that when it comes to free energy? Where's the energy? And where is the guy who's producing the devices that make the energy? If he could, he'd sell a lot of them, that's for sure. But it needs a lot of advertising.
That's not
hard
at all for me to imagine, because that's my field of expertise is free energy. Looking at these devices that harness the wheel work of nature inexpensively, robustly, portably, so that you have the kind of 24/7 baseload capability like geothermal, that you have the portability of a fossil fuel without the fuel line, because you're pulling straight from nature. Wherever you go, you've got the energy.
Where is that? Have you seen this happen?
I am covering this stuff on a day-to-day basis for 8 years, and I can tell you there are a lot of really amazing developments, both devices that have been built and devices that have gotten fairly close to commercialization, none of which have made it commercial. But it is a real cape possibility, and you mentioned at the beginning of the hour that, you know, look at how far we can go in just 100 years. There have been technologies for 100 years on this planet, started by Nikola Tesla, for example, that would give us that kind of capability, that have been held back, that have been suppressed, that have not been brought forward, because they threaten the very power structure that we're talking about. These people who have a lot of control, they would lose that control if the people are no longer dependent on them for their fuel.
But they're not making their money by selling these devices. You're saying they're making their money by selling conventional
technology. They've
got
their funny money. They've got their Federal Reserve funny money they can do. They can create it out of nothing. They can put it in off-budget things. They have a lot of ways to come up with trillions of dollars that just disappear out of budgets. They have a lot of spending cash, a lot more than you and I will ever have. You mentioned earlier in your own life where you were involved in a $100 million project with 11,000 scientists on a project.
No, 1,100, 1,100, please.
Okay, 1,100.
That's a lot.
Yeah.
To give you an example of that, right now, or I checked 3 years ago, the total annual budget for the three nuclear weapons labs was more than the total budget for all National Science Foundation activities. Each one was spending over $1 billion a year and employed about 8,000 people. So, yeah, there's a lot of dough being spent out there. And, you know, there aren't too many nuclear weapons on the market, thank goodness, where people can buy it. Now, maybe deadly lasers? I don't know. What I'm saying is I haven't yet seen the product. I can understand that there are people who would want to keep this away from the world. Whether it works or not doesn't matter. They're going to make sure that nobody does it. So what I'm trying to say here is we do have a cover-up. We do have alien visitors. Go to my website, www.stantonfriedman.com. You'll see a lot of information about those things. You won't see much about free energy because I don't know where to find it or to find the people who can produce it. I know that there are people who are claiming they could if, and it's what follows the if that's the difficult part here. So I haven't found nirvana here. A lot of talk. I've met some of these people and talked to them. But, there's a few big ifs hither, thither, and yon. And are there bullies out there? You bet your boots there are. I don't deny that at all.
Well, we appreciate you coming on the show and talking about this area of that you have been studying for all these years. We appreciate your efforts in bringing these things to people's attention. And again, your website?
www.stantonfriedman.com. It's got my email address, how to reach me, and all the rest of that.
And your books?
Yeah, all the books. And if you buy them from me, at least you get an autograph. You buy them from Amazon, you don't.
Free Energy Now, brought to you by PES, Pure Energy Systems. You may access past archives and upcoming show info at freeenergynow.net. And join us for our daily news at freeenergynews.com. We invite you to see our directory of energy technologies at PESWiki.com. That's PESWiki.com. PES, the Pure Energy Systems Information Network.
Hi, this is Mark.